Hey, it's Benji Cole, son of Al Cole from CBS Radio, welcoming you to another edition of People of Distinction, the talk that gives an in-depth view of some of the most dynamic, intelligent, and successful people on the planet. Run to our website, peopleofdistinction.org, for more info, or you can email me directly at benji@alcoleenterprises.com. And on the line with us today, we have James Henderson. We'll be discussing his book, Travels with King Kong, Overland Across Africa, available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. But also, guys, just be aware, if you do want to get more of the experience that Jim is really laid out for us, do yourself a favor. Go directly to his personal website, jimh325.net. There, not only will you be able to find information on the book, you'll be able to find more information on him as well. Now, quick disclaimer, just so you guys are aware, when you go to the site, the book there that you'll be able to see, that's going to be the first edition, okay? So there's a new edition that has just come out this year. That's the one that you really want to locate on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, okay? That's the second edition. So be aware when you go to the website, gather that information, but purchase it through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. In addition to that, you can also find Jim's professional photography on his other website, nl-se.com. Jim was brought to People of Distinction today by some of the best movers in the business, Rustic House Publishing. If you have a book that you'd like moved, move it to Rustic House. You can find them at rustichouse.com. That's RustikHaws.com. And guys, I am so excited to have Jim here on the line with us because, listen, the book we're going to be discussing, Travels with King Kong, Overland Across Africa, is such an amazing narrative and really a great journey for us all to embark upon. Now, listen, you know, a lot of times we hear about these journeys and we hear about these, you know, amazing adventures, but a lot of times they're always coming with, you know, that fictional overtone there, right? I mean, it's a fictional narrative that we're embarking upon with these fictional characters. Well, I got a treat for you, okay? Because the book that we're about to go into right now is a direct narrative taken from Jim's life. It's his personal experience, his personal journey, and really is something that is not done nowadays. It's not done anymore. And Jim is the expert on this matter. He's going to be able to explain all the nuances, all the experiences he's had, and why a journey of this magnitude is no longer even possible for people to embark upon. And that in and of itself makes it so profound. So without further ado, we have Jim here on the line with us. First and foremost, Jim, thank you so much for being a guest with us on People of Distinction. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing well, Benji, and I'm honored to be among the most famous guests I've seen listed.
We are just as excited to have you here, Jim. And listen, the honor is all ours, truly. Now, before we jump into the book, Jim, let's hold off slightly. Let's build that temptation just a little bit more, okay? Talk to our listening audience. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, there are a lot of years, so I'll have to sort of condense it into as small a segment as I can. I was born in London, England, just after World War II. My mother and I came to the United States to join my father, who was stationed in England during the war. Mm-hmm. I grew up on a farm in the middle of Illinois, went to the University of Illinois, got a bachelor's degree in forestry, which sounds kind of odd in Midwest. And after that point, I spent a lot of time in the West, Oregon State University, University of Washington. I worked for the Forest Service for a few years. And then I went back to the University of Washington. I got my master's degree. And it was at that point that I met my best friend, John. And he's the one that got me started in this whole adventure. So I think that, and since that time, of course, once I got back from Africa, I went back to the Pacific Northwest for a while. Got a job up in Alaska for a while, and then came down to Southern California, and I've been here for 30 years now.
Fantastic. Well, quite some traveling there.
One other point I'd like to make is that while I worked for the software company down here in Southern California, I had a rare opportunity to travel to almost 100 countries doing training for them. So
wow,
it's been an exciting time for sure.
Fantastic. Well, listen, Jim, we're going to have you on here a second time, okay? Because I'd love to hear about all the traveling adventures that you've been able to embark upon. That's absolutely incredible. But listen, guys, for the time being, since we're focused on this book, go directly to Jim's blog. This way, you'll be able to share in on all the experiences right now. And that blog is authorjimhenderson.wordpress.com. Now, let's jump right in. Travels with King Kong overland across Africa. Tell us a little bit about the book.
Well, the book started really when my best friend John was in Seattle. I was at the University of Washington. We spent a lot of time together. And over the course of the 2 years I was studying for my master's degree, he came up with the idea that we should travel around the world when I finished my degree. And I said, well, it sounds like a great idea. I didn't really take it seriously until he started doing the planning. And he planned the trip to start in Africa. So that's how we got started.
Fantastic. So this book really encompasses that journey.
Yeah. So I started by meeting up with John in Spain, where he was doing some teaching as of English as a second language. And then we traveled to Morocco and met up with this group that he had arranged to do so. It was an overland group, and they were traveling from London to Nairobi. So we joined them and spent the next 6 months traveling to Nairobi.
So I guess it's a safe bet. You know, the follow-up question that I really wanted to go into was, how did the journey begin? And I guess it's a safe bet to assume that that's how it began, was through your friends kind of spurring you on in this adventure, correct?
Yes. I mean, John planned a lot of the details, and I just sort of said, okay, where and when do I go to get the vaccinations and the visas for mm-hmm. my passport and so on. So he did a lot of the groundwork.
Wonderful. Now, James, the next question I want to go into, I mean, let's talk about the title, because it's such an intriguing title, right? Travels with King Kong. I mean, right off the bat, it definitely perks your interest. But then when you learn a little bit about it, because, of course, we hear King Kong, we think of the movies, right, in the film. But this doesn't have anything to do with that. Explain, you know, some of the references that you're making here and how you developed that title.
Okay, yeah, it's a good question, Angie, and it all stems from the fact that we had two vehicles, old English Army vehicles, one of which was an old bus, and somebody had named it King Kong. So John and I rode in King Kong for 6 months across Africa, and so that's where I came up with the title, Travels with King Kong, Overland Across Africa, because that was every day for 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Just for my own curiosity, James, now, of course, you talked about your friend John. He kind of really put this idea in your head. Now, was this something that he wanted to do just out of curiosity and just wanted to travel across Africa and across the world? Or was there maybe something else to it?
No, he was quite a traveler before that. And he was getting bored with his job as a high school teacher in Tacoma, Washington. Mm-hmm. And that's why he saw this as an opportunity to travel, you know, together. But, you know, he was very experienced with traveling.
All right. Now let's talk about inspiration, Jim. Now, inspiration, of course, as you know, can take many forms. So first and foremost, what inspired this particular narrative? And we know what inspired the journey, but what inspired you to write this particular narrative? And then also, aside from that, I mean, writing doesn't seem like that is your background, right? I mean, having a creative journey of this magnitude and becoming a writer, what inspired you to embark on that path?
Well, I think that's also a good question. And it started actually in Morocco, in Tangiers, when John and I first got off the ferry from Spain. And as I sat in that, little hotel room at night, I thought, you know, this is an experience that I don't want to forget. So I got out a pen and paper and I started the journal at that point. And I tried every day to write about what happened and what I saw, things that you know, were things I had never seen before, the experiences I had, and it carried on and on. And I must admit, as time went on, and I continued to write this journal, it actually became something that, you know, I looked forward to every day. It's like, how do I put this day in, you know, into words? And at the same time, of course, I had my camera, so I was trying to take photos as we went along the way. Because, like I said, I didn't want to forget this. I knew this was going to be an experience I would never have again.
Here on the line with James Henderson, we're discussing his book, Travels with King Kong, Overland Across Africa, available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And again, do yourself a favor. Go directly to his personal website, okay? There's actually going to be two of them that I'm going to list for you. The first one is his personal site. It's jimh325.net. There you'll be able to find more information on the book, more information on Jim himself. But again, keep in mind, on the personal website, that's the first edition of the book that's available there. So you really want to go back to Amazon and Barnes & Noble to get the second edition. That's going to be the most current one that he recently put out. And then in addition to it, as he's already stated, Jim's a photographer. Okay, so he has this background as well. His professional website is going to be nl-se.com. There you'll be able to find a lot of his photography as well. You know, Jim, this is absolutely incredible. And what I love so much about what you're saying and really about, you know, what you just explained to us and to our listening audience is we know as what tends to happen as we go on our life's journey and on our path that way, our mind can tend to change on us slightly, right? And our memories become vague and they become a little hazy. What I love is that you had the wherewithal to go ahead and start documenting and journaling during your process. And this, now when we're picking up this book, Travels with King Kong, Overland Across Africa, we can read this narrative and know that this is the most accurate depiction of what you've experienced, because this is taken directly from your journal that you had created while you were on that path. And I think that in and of itself is so profound for us really to know that this is not just something, a journey that you took years ago and then, you know, 10, 15 years later decided to write a book on, and now you're kind of having to go through the memory bank and pull from things again. This is already there, and I just want to be the, if I'm not the first person, let me just be the first person to commend you here on our show on how fantastic and what a great idea that was to really help us be alongside with you as much as possible on this wonderful journey that you're explaining for us. Now, we know about the book. We know a little bit about you. We know about the title and the inspiration. Why, in your words, Jim, why was it not good enough? I mean, you started to go into it in terms of you wanted this for yourself, right? Just so you can kind of remember, and that's why you started journaling and everything. But why wasn't it something that just stayed there? You know, just as a journal that you had written just for yourself or for your family or for your close friends and loved ones around you. But why did you then feel the need to push it even beyond that, put the words on paper and put it out for the public to be able to partake in as well?
Well, another good question, Benji. And I think I've got a couple responses to that. The first being that I wrote it many, many years ago as a journal, but I always had the idea I would write it as a book. And the reason to write it as a book was to share the experience with other people, because I went for, you know, what, 25, 30 years after that, working around people that never knew that I had ever taken that trip. And I felt like I really want to share it, because it's a unique experience, one that maybe they can at least experience in some way the way I did.
Wonderfully put. Guys, listen, if you want to get everything on that journey, you know what you have to do. You got to go out and you got to purchase the book, okay? There's no way around it. Now, just as a little teaser, Jim, if you can, Can you potentially, can you share one of your experiences that you went through on that journey with us, please?
Yes, and I mean, of course, there are a lot of experiences that that really had a profound impact on me, but there are two in particular that I think about. One is that when the journey began, when John and I joined the group, there were about 30 people in this group, and everyone was assigned a job, so to speak. And some people cooked, some people did the loading and unloading of the vehicles, some people did the gathering of firewood for the fire in the evening to fix dinner. And I got the job of being the mechanic. And the mechanic was the job to check all the fuel levels, the tires, you know, the general condition of the vehicles every day before we left.
Mm-hmm.
As it turned out, the old bus, King Kong, had terrible mechanical problems. I mean, every day there were two or three breakdowns, it seemed. And as a mechanic, as the mechanic, I joined the drivers in fixing these mechanical problems. And especially in the desert, in the Sahara Desert, for 6 weeks, every day we had some kind of a breakdown. And when we broke down, sometimes it was an hour, sometimes it was a whole day. And other people, you know, the rest of the people in the group just had to sit there in the, you know, trying to find shade and sit there while I was helping the drivers. And that really made an impact on me because I knew I was doing something useful. It occupied my time and I felt good about it. The other experience that I had that really impacted me was after we arrived in Nairobi, I joined a group of about four people to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. And it had always been on my mind when I first even thought about going to Africa is that I wanted to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. When we got to the summit, it was a sunrise, and sunrise over East Africa, and it was profound. I mean, we were on the highest point in all of the continent of Africa.
That is absolutely, Jim, this is incredible. You know, listen, just to backtrack, I mean, both of those stories were astounding. Now, you're talking about these mechanical issues that you guys, you know, that King Kong, rather, was going through. I mean, that must have been quite the nerve-wracking experience, right? I mean, you guys are driving through, you're in the middle of a desert, and the car breaks down. I mean, that must have been very scary, right? Because, I mean, of course, the things that you're battling against, yeah, you're hoping and you're kind of, you know, moving with the assumption that everything is going to be okay and you're going to get the car back up and running and it's going to be fine. But, I, you know, especially for the people that just had to kind of wait around and, you know, kind of put their lives and safety into your hands, I mean, that must have been quite the challenge.
It was a great challenge, and I got so much from the experience of being able to help the drivers doing that. And there was one point that I mentioned in the book. I call it the Great Breakdown, and we were over 100 miles from the nearest village in the middle of the Sahara. It was 120 degrees in the shade, and all of a sudden a valve dropped through the top of a piston in the engine of King Kong, and it put us out of commission. And so we had the main part of the group stayed in this. We finally got pulled into a small village. They stayed there for 2 weeks while three of us went to a French uranium mine 200 miles away to telex back to London to get parts flown out to Niger to go back to this site where the group was, and we literally rebuilt the engine in the middle of the desert.
Wow. Oh, man. Listen, guys, what a journey. Do yourself a favor. What more can we say? I mean, this is absolutely incredible. Do yourself a favor, okay? Rush on over to Amazon and Barnes & Noble and pick up your copy of Travels with King Kong Overland Across Africa by James Henderson. You surely will not be disappointed. Jim, this has been absolutely astounding. Thank you so much for being a guest with us. I mean, what more can we say? Guys, listen, let's call a spade, okay? We're all spending a lot more time at home given the current situation that we're facing, really, in our entire human family across the board globally. Why not, since we are stuck within the confines of our house physically, why not leave the confines of our house mentally and embark upon just a borderline immaculate journey with so many astounding and amazing experiences that Jim has put together for us. This is an absolute delight and such a pleasure having you on. Jim, thank you once again for being a guest with us today on People of Distinction.
I'll be honest, I was quite nervous before this, but you make it so easy. I appreciate it. Thank you very much, Benji. Like I said, I just hope to share this experience with others.